Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis. We're going to go back to the two dots, about five lines from the end of Kuf Yud Amud Beis, and pick up from there. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and also Luzuchus Rufus Shalema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are in the middle of the Sugis of Rafua, and today is the last daf of the 14th parak of Masechta Shabbos, and Bez Hashem will begin the 15th parak of Masechta Shabbos. So first we're going to discuss how a certain type of refuah is mutter if it is ma'akir, if it causes a person to become sterile. Isn't that an issur d'oraisa to do that to a human being? Then the Mishnah is going to discuss other types of refuah on Shabbos, including those types of refuah that help the teeth and using types of vinegar. The Gemara is going to ask a stira, whether vinegar is good for the teeth or bad to the teeth. Seems to be a stira in the Tanakh. We're going to have two yeshuvim to that stira, and then we're going to have a stira whether one should swallow the vinegar or not swallow the vinegar, and several yeshuvim to that as well. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about whether we paskin like, in the last sugya in this parak, is whether we paskin like Rabbi Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos, that the Gemara is going to assume that one must be consistent with whether they paskin like Rabbi Shimon in all areas of Hilchos Shabbos. And then Baz Hashem will begin the 15th parak of Shabbos, which is Ve'elu Kosherim, and is all about the malachos of kosher and matir. So we're going to have the first mishnah is going to talk about those types of knots that you're chayev on for making those knots on Shabbos, and the second mishnah, which also appears on this daf, is going to talk about those types of knots that one is not chayev for making on Shabbos. So that Baz Hashem will begin the next parak. So let's begin again at the two dots on daf Kuf Yud Amud Bey. So says the Gemara, Liyarkona, Rabbi Yochanan had said that Liyarkona trained b'shichra me'aker. They have two of these ingredients together with beer, and it's ma'aker a person. So says the Gemara, Mishari, are you allowed to drink a kos ikrin? Are you allowed to cause a person to be unable to have children? V'atanya minayin l'sirus padam shu aser. How do I know that it's aser to be misaris human being? So Tamad Omar, because the Pasuk talks about bringing a behema that's musareses on the Mizbeach, and the Pasuk says that if it's ma'uch or kasus or not to Vakarus, that it's not lo sakriv l'Hashem, and then it says uva artzichem lo saasu, that a behema that was misuras in one of these ways cannot be brought in the mizbeach, and you're not allowed to do that to be misaris a behema or a chaya, even if you're not going to bring it on the mizbeach. And we darshin not only bartzichem lo saasu, but bachem lo saasu, that it's also to do these things but on a person, to be misaris a person. Divrei Rabbi Chanina, so you see that it's also to be misaris a person. So how could it be that it's mutter to drink a kos shel shalikrin, even though the person is having no kavana to be misaris, the person is only drinking it for refuah? The Gemara is still asking that it should be also to drink the kos shalikrin, because we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that a davar sheinu miskaven is aser. Rabbi Shimon holds davar sheinu miskaven is mutter, saying a chinami it might be mutter to drink the kos ikrin when you're drinking it for the sake of refuah, even though you're not having kavana lasaris. That's how the She'iltos understands in Parshas Emor, and told Tosos quotes Rav Yehuda, but Tosos and the Ramban and other Rishonim disagree with the Shiltos, and they say that the issur to drink a kos ikrin would even apply according to Rabbi Shimon, because this is going to be considered a psik reshe. This isn't something that may or may not be misares the person. That in a chinami would be a davar shena miskaven. He's being miskaven the refua, and maybe it's going to have the impact of being misares him as well. So that's how the Shiltos understands. But Tosos says, no, this is definitely going to be misares him. So even Rabbi Shimon is moda that this would be aser. So the Gemara's kasha is bein the Rabbi Yehuda, bein the Rabbi Shimon. How could we ever allow someone to drink a kos ikrin? It's going to be misaris them, and you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara has a couple of attempts at an answer. First suggested answer, hani mili hecha de kamichavein. When do we say that it's also to be misaris person? That's only when your intention is to be misaris. Hacha me'atzmahu. But over here, you're not doing a maisa on the Aver itself. You're not directly impacting the reproductive organs. You're only drinking kol shalikrin, and mimela the person loses the capacity to reproduce. If a person wants to be misaris the tarnagol, you could do that. You could just remove its comb, and then it will be misaris on its own. So apparently, since you're not touching the reproductive organs, that's perfectly fine. So this form of sirus is okay, an indirect sirus. where one does not directly touch the reproductive organs. So, frak the Gemara, is that true? Vam Ravashi, Ramas Ruchu Hudinikitalei. Ravashi says when you take the karbolas off of the tarnagol, that's not an act of sirus at all. It's just that the tarnagol has a certain amount of pride in its karbolas, and when you take it, he's just emotionally distraught, and therefore he won't engage in tashmish amita. But sirus is still going to be aser when it's done mimela, meaning this isn't even sirus. He's not physically incapable. The tarnagol is not physically incapable of reproducing once you take the karbolas. It's just that you've emasculated him, you've humiliated him. So now he's not going to be interested in reproducing. So to take someone's desire away from wanting to reproduce, if you haven't actually affected their ability to reproduce, that's for sure not going to be a violation of sirus. But to even indirectly be misaris the person, lechara, that should be aser. So the Gemara now tries a second answer. Why are you allowed to drink kosher liquor? And I, after all, isn't it going to be misaris? Ela b'sris. We're talking about a person who's already a sris. So it's too late. So you're not going to affect them in any way. So the Gemara is still not satisfied with that, because Amar b'chia barabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hakol modim, that even though there's a machlokas, whether you're allowed to make a mum on a bechor that's already a bal mum, like you have a bechor that has a riboy dam, which makes it a bal mum, because it would die as a result of riboy dam, are you you're allowed to be makiz dam and make another mum in it? But everyone would agree that b'mechamet achar mechamet shul chayiv, that if you have a korban mincha that's already chametz, and then you are mechamet it again, you make the korban mincha further chametz. The Torah says you're not allowed to make a korban mincha b'chimutz. Kol mincha asher takriv el Hashem lo sase chametz, the pasuk says. Very rare is the korban mincha that involves some element of chametz. Korban toda obviously has some element of chametz in it. That's why we don't say mizmor soda on erev Pesach, because you can't eat it on late into the day on erev Pesach. But almost every other korban mincha is an iser of making a chametz. So let's say the first guy needed the dough b'chimutz, and the second guy arranges the loaves b'chimutz, and the third guy bakes it b'chimutz. So that's all going to be chayiv shenemar, because the pasuk says lo say afa chametz, lo say asa chametz. So the Gemara Menachos darshins that it's telling us that someone who needs and someone who arranges and someone who bakes b'chimutz, you're chayiv for each and every one of those things, because the isra of baking b'chimutz is included in the isra of asiya b'chametz. So why does the Torah have to write the isra of afiya separately in order to link all of the asios of the mincha to the baking of the mincha, just like one is chayiv for the baking independently, it's a chashva maisa on its own, so too every element of the process of preparing the loaves is considered a chashva maisa on its own, such as the kneading and the arranging of the dough, and therefore you're chayiv for each one independently. So everyone is mod, the mechametz achar mechametz is chayiv, because the Torah is marbe that you're chayiv for all of the asios of the mincha b'chimutz, even though it's already chametz after the first guy got through with it, and b'masari sachem masari shul chayiv. And this is the key for what we're, for our discussion. Everyone agrees that if you're masaris that which is already mesuras, you're chayiv. Shenei Marcus, the pasuk says umauch v'chasos v'nasuk v'karus, that you're not allowed to be makriv as a carbon, and then ubar tzchem lo sasu. Well, im al karus chayiv al nasuk lo kolshkein. If by cutting the beitzim and leaving them hanging, not totally detaching them, you're chayiv. So nasuk, which is totally detaching them from the body, which is a more severe form of sirus, of course you're going to be chayiv. Ella, so why is it that the Torah has to tell me that both of these things are chayiv? Just tell me that ma'uch is chayiv, then of course, it just tell me that karus is chayiv, then and then of course notuk is going to be chayiv. Lahavi, notuk achra karesh, hu chayiv. To tell me that even if you're menatek after it was already karus, you're going to be chayiv, meaning someone has already been misares, the animal or the person, and then you go and further cut off the beitim entirely, then you can be chayiv for that. That's a case of sirus achar sirus. So therefore, our second attempt at an answer as to how it could be, our second attempt at an answer as to how it could be that a person could ever drink a kol shalikrin, after all, isn't it misarisim? So we suggest, he's already a sirus, doesn't work. Even if he's already a sris, you're not allowed to be misaris to the person. Ella, so the Gemara says, the third possibility, bizakin. It's a person who's already too old, and they're not going to be able to be molded anymore anyhow, and therefore, you're allowed to be misaris such a person. Even though misaris achar misaris is chayiv, that's only because it's a gzeris hakasav, that he became, that, 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 that that the Torah specifically says malch v'chassos v'natuk, but zekena, which is but old age, which is not a sirus. It's just that the person is no longer able to have any more children. So Tosfos points out that's where there's a hava amina. The Gemara is having a hava amina that will be mutter to be mesares such a person. The Rashba explains that the Torah is only asks mesares hacham mesares because it's not nicker that he's a siris, because every young person that looks exactly like him is able to have children. So it looks like when you do the sirus, it looks like you're being mesares him anew. But a zakein, everyone can recognize that the person is a zakein and is therefore no longer able to have children. So that's the havamina, says the Rashba, to distinguish between mesares achar mesares, which is asur on a young person, versus an old person being mesares, where the Gemara thinks maybe it's mutter. So says the Gemara of Amrav Yochanan, hein achziruni lenarosi. Rabbi Yochanan says that there are refuos that the Gemara talks about in Maseches Gittin for a person who doesn't have koach to do Tashma Shamita, that in fact enabled him, even le'is zikna, enabled him to have marital relations. So you see that even a zakein can go back to his youth. There are certain therapies that he can have, certain medications that a zakein can have that will bring youthful vigor and allow him to be able to have children. So that the zakein doesn't work, because you can't tell me that a zakein is already unable to have children. It's not true. Sometimes a zakein can have children. Ella, fourth answer, be isha. We're talking about an isha, and by an isha, there's no isser of sirus. What? Why would there be no isser of sirus when it comes to an isha? Because an isha is not mitzuva on period verivia, and therefore there's no isser of making her an akara, since she has no isser of period verivia, no mitzvah rather of period verivia. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bereishis, Puruvu umiluas haaretz vikiv shuha. So the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samachayim Beis says, yeah, Ish shadarka latzis l'mechavas v'lichbosh. Ish shadarka lichbosh. A man who normally would go out and fight wars and would be kovesh land and would conquer. So he's chayiv in the mitzvah of puravu, because the Torah dafka throws in the word vikiv shuha in the context of puravu. But an ishat ein darka lichbosh is not mitzvah puravu. So meila, there's no isra of sirus, because the Rashi points out the isra of sirus is 100% connected to the mitzvah of puravu. So she who is not commanded in Puruvu is also, there's no Isser of Sirus. The Milchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Reish Sadi Aleph, raises the following question. How can you say that the Isser of Sirus is Talui in the Mitzvah of Puri Verivia? Wait a second. Where does the Isser of Sirus appear in the Torah? In what context? The Isser of Sirus appears in the Torah when we talk about bringing an animal for a korban, that you're not allowed to bring an animal that's Mesuris, and a Ba'aretz Chamlo Sas, so you're not allowed to do that to your animals back home either. Are animals mitzuva and peri verivia? Obviously not. And yet we still see that the Isser of Sirus is based in the halacha of an animal. So how can you say that the Isser of Sirus is 100% linked with the mitzvah of puravu? And therefore the Minchas Chinuch says we're misunderstanding the Gemara. The Gemara over here is telling us something else. It's telling us that the Torah never asers Sirus by an isha, not because she's in a mitzuva and peri verivia. Our Gemara never said those words explicitly. That was Rashi's addition. No, the Isser of Sirus was only by a man and not by a woman. It's just that the Isser happened to have been stated only by a man and not in the context of a woman. That's why there's no Isser of Sirus by an Isha. So now the Gemara asks Vaitil, Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Adomer al Shneim Uomer, Vayivarach Hashem Elokim Vayomalem Puruvu, that to both man and woman they're told Puruvu, and it's Belashon Rabbim to tell me that an Isha is also Mitzuvah Piri Verivya. So then Mayikil Meimar, how are you going to explain the heter to drink the Kos Ikrin, even an Isha's Mitzuvah Piri Verivya? So there should be an Isser Sirus. That's how Rashi understands at least that line of the Gemara, right? That once the Gemara said that there's a direct link between the mitzvah of Puruvu and the Isser of Sirus, so we said an Isha is not mitzvah of Puruvu, and therefore there's no Isser of Sirus. So the Gemara's follow-up question is, yeah, but what if you hold that an Isha is mitzvah of Puruvu? Then there's going to be an Isser of Sirus. Minchas Chinuch is going to have to understand this line a little bit differently, obviously, right? The Minchas Chinuch is going to explain when he said Ela B'Isha is that the Torah simply never ushered an Isha at all, and therefore the Torah never commanded an Isha either in Puruvu. So the Gemara is asking that according to Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, that a woman is Mitzuvah Piri of Rivia, she should be Asura Lishtos Kos Shalikrin also because of Bittel Piri of Rivia, meaning now is the first time that we're introducing a new concept, that we're introducing the role of Puruvu in the Isra of drinking the Kos Shalikrin. That previously the Gemara had answered that that Be'isha, that an Isha is simply not included in the Isra of Sirus. So the Gemara asks, but she should be, not because of the independent Isra of Sirus, but because she's Mitzvah and Peruvu. So it's a bit to say, so maybe she's not included in the Isra of Sirus, but it should be us to do it anyway, because it's being Mevata, the Mitzvah of Peruvu. So says Gemara Bizakena. We're talking about an Isha who is a Zakena, and therefore there's no Isra of Sirus. So the Ritva points out, even though by a Zakein we didn't accept that answer, we said a Zakein can always go back to his youthfulness, and he can always go back to his, but by a Zakena we never find such a thing. We never find that a woman is already a Zakena should then be able to have children again later on, unless it's Biderech Nes, unless it's like Sari Yemenu or something. So Inami Ba'akara, or we're talking about a woman who's already not able to have children, and therefore there's no Isra Sirus on such a woman. The Miuchas Laran points out, there's what about Misari Sachar Misaris? I thought we said that a Misari Sachar Misaris is going to be problematic. No, this is about a woman who was never Ra'i Laholid, and only by a Sris that was once Ra'i Laholid and has been Nistaris, then there's Nisra of Sirus Achar Sirus. But here's an Akaras, a woman who never had the capacity to have children, never had the ability to have children, and therefore it's not even an Isser of Sirus Achar Sirus. So the Gemara had all of these different suggestions to answer the question of how could a woman ever drink, how could a person rather, ever drink a kos shel ikrin. So first the Gemara had suggested that maybe if you don't directly affect the reproductive organs themselves, and you just do it indirectly, that it's going to be mutter. The Gemara reject that. Then the Gemara suggested maybe we're talking about a sris, but we rejected that because even sirus achar sirus is aser. Then the Gemara suggested maybe we're talking about a zakein, and we rejected that because even a zakein can be able to have children again later on. And then we suggested maybe some about an isha, but we rejected that because some say that an isha is at least mitzvah and peri verivia, and therefore maybe mitzvah and sirus as well. Until we finally said you have to combine. It's an isha who is a zakein. It's an isha who is an akara, and only in such a case would you be allowed to drink the kol shel ikrin. Otherwise, ein achinami, it would be a violation of sirus. There is a discussion when it comes to the isra of sirus to what extent the isra goes, because when we darshan, it's based on the pasuk ba'artzachem lo sasu. Yet the Achronim discuss, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Babasan, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mesareis the Leviasan. So, L'chora, a Kodesh Baruch Hu also keeps the Torah. So, how is a Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed to be Mesareis the Leviasan? So, Leviasan is a fish. So, in She'ilas Yaivitz, in Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf Yer Aleph, quoted by the Pisri Tshuva, in Ebenezer Simon Hay, he says that it's Pashut that you're not even allowed to be Mesareis Dagim, because the Torah never says that there's a particular min that you're not allowed to be Mesaris, so we assume every min is included in the Yisr, fish included. What about the Medrash HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekayim Kol HaTorah? So how could it be Mesaris Leviasan according to the Gemara in Baba Basri, is Mesaris Leviasan that's a Zachar? So he's Miyashev that we don't learn Halacha from Agada, and the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesaris Leviasan is an Agadata, so you can't learn Halacha from Agada, meaning all the Agadata is about the Leviasan, about you can't understand them on the simple level, in the most literal sense. Someone told me that they asked Rav Aaron Lapiansky, they said, is there something more to the Leviasan, to being Nena from the Sudasa Shel Leviasan, that we don't understand? So he said, I find it hard to believe that the whole Indian of Sudasa Shel Leviasan is a good piece of baked salmon. I mean, come on. I mean, obviously there's something much, much deeper going on over there. So you're going to learn a halacha from an Agadita. The Agadita is describing something much, much more. What is it describing? Okay, Svarim talk about this. And it's something very, very deep. But to just assume that you can learn from an Agadita, from the simple reading of an Agadita, that displays a fundamental understanding of how Agadita works. Agadita is written in very simple terms, but it's describing very complex ideas in very, very simple terms. So that's what Yaakov Emden says. You can't learn halacha from Divrei Agada. Plus, a sris bidei shemayim is not called a sris, because sris bidei shemayim is mutar lava bekahal, right? You're allowed to, that's what the Gemara says, that you're allowed to take the karbalto shel atarnugol, because that's considered sirus bidei shemayim. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Emden understands our Gemara, at least. However, the Malbim in Sefer Vayikra Perek Chav Beis says that it's pashut to him that there's no isra of sirus on dagim, because by sirus it specifically says, and we quoted the pasuk over here, ube Artzichem lo sasu. So kol sheba artzichem is l'rabos chayav ha'of, that but not dagim. And he brings a raya from the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga daf Yudalit asks, mal l'saruse kalba, can he be misares a dog? And the Gemara Ben Zoma answers, from the fact that it says kol sheba artzichem aser, you see that it's aser. So the Malam says that that's coming to be marbe a kelev hayam, that's boreach alei abasha, a sea lion or something that will also jump onto the dry land. But a dog that's never ba'artzichem, that purely lives in water, absolutely there's no iser of sirus. Minchas Chinuch raises this suffix already, whether dagim are included in the iser of sirus. So that's the issue when it comes to dagim. So the Gemara said at the end that when it comes to zakena, a zakena, there's no isra of sirus, but a zakain, there is an isra of sirus, because a zakain is able to go back to his youthful vigor at some point. So that's a question in halacha in general. When a person is a zakain, to what extent do those kinds of isurim go away? The kinds of isurim that relate to sexual drive, something like that, is that something that would go away when a person is a zakain? The Shulchan Aruch writes in Ebn Ezra Simchav Bey, that a tinokas that's pchusim bashalosh and a tinok that's pachos mi ben teisha is mutter biyichud. The Chazal will never go there on yichud of an isha if she's not ru'uya labia, or a man who's not ru'uya labia. So in the Achronim they discuss l'chori, you could have said that just like a katan and a katana are mutter biyichud because they're not ru'uya labia, a zaken should have no isra yichud because a zaken is also not ru'uya labia. But he says there's a big the Zeis Ra'anan points out there's a big difference between them. A katan's not ru'uya labia at all. A zaken has refua. That's what we see over here in our Gemara. But he says, don't bring a raya from our Gemara to asur yichud, just like we asur sirus, because it could be that le'inyan sirus we're done based on what he's able to be molded al yidei refua. But when it comes to yichud, it could be that calls man that he didn't take any medication and he's not able to have that refua. He doesn't have that refua. Maybe there's no asur yichud. So he brings a raya from Yerushalmi in Maseches So. That yichud with the Neshes Ish, which is Daraisa, is asr even for a zaken. But he's not sure about other isuri yichud, those isuri yichud that are only midraban. Panuya with a panuya is only an isur yichud panuya, or even a married man with a panuya is only an isur yichud midraban. And that was the Beis Dino Shal David HaMelech was gozer after the Maisa with Amnon and Tamar, that you can't even have yichud with a single girl. So maybe that there's more room to be makel when it comes to a zaken. That's what some of the achronim suggest. Okay, so let's go weiter now. Says the Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses again, continuing to discuss dinim of refuah. Hachoshev b'shenav, a person has a toothache. Lo ge'emeya b'enes hachometz. He shouldn't fill his mouth with vinegar, because normal healthy people don't do that. And when he's doing that, it's evident that he's doing it for the sake of refuah. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah has a discussion whether a toothache is considered a makah shel chala, like an internal wound, and therefore he could be mechal Shabbos on it. And Choshev means that he only has over here. It doesn't mean that it's pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. Of course, you're allowed to do whatever you want. No, it's not a makah shel chala. Over here, we're just talking about where he has a little bit of a toothache. It doesn't really hurt him that much. So then he's not allowed to be megameh chometz. But if it hurts him a lot, so then of course he's allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Or says the Gemara, no, maybe a toothache is not a makah shel chala, and you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a toothache, even though it hurts him very much. And choshesh over here means hurts him very, very much, and that's where we're saying that he's us. Even so, it's also to be megameh sachometz. And the Gemara is not poshet the suffix over there. How do we view a toothache? Do we view a toothache as something that's inherently dangerous or not? So the other day we discussed how Chazal understand that gav hayad v'gav haregel, any wound, any injury on the top of the hand or the top of the foot, we consider that to be very dangerous because of all the veins and sinews that are there in that location of the body. So whether that medical science considers it to be dangerous or not, the Gemara considers it to be dangerous. Someone wrote me a comment after that shiur that once they asked, their child had hurt their hand and on Shabbos, and they asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky whether what to do. He said, drive to the hospital right away. You can be mechal Shabbos because because it's gav hayad. That's how we paskin whether medical science recognizes that as not. Chazal understood it to be a sakana. So how do we paskin when it comes to teeth? So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Chav Ches and Aruch Chaim says that a toothache is considered a makas shel chalal and yimachal Shabbos. Why? Safik nefashos. The hakel that in general, whenever it comes to safik nefashos, pikuach nefesh is the most even svek svek of pikuach nefesh, where we'll go and we'll be mechal Shabbos. We'll do all sorts of yisurim in order to save a life. So this since it's an unresolved issue, so safik nefashos lahakel. So you're not allowed to fill gargle vinegar on Shabbos, assuming that it's not a dangerous situation. Avol metabel hu kedarko. But what you can do is you could do a trick. You could dip your bread in the vinegar and then suck on the bread, and that's more of a derech achila, that's a normal way of eating, so it's not so obvious that you're doing it for refuah. V'nisrapi nisrapi, and if a result of that is that you have a refuah, wonderful. Hachoshish b'masnav lo yasuch, if a person is choshish b'masnav, he lo yasuch yayin v'chometz, then he shouldn't rub himself with wine or with chometz on his loins, because that's only for the sake of refuah. Avosachas ha-shemen, but he could put oil on his body, but v'lo shemen verid, but not shemen verid, not rose oil, because that's very expensive and not easy to find, and normal healthy people would not use that. So that must be for refuah. However, b'nei melachim, who are very wealthy, they can even use shemen verid, because they would do that even on a weekday, since they're so wealthy. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kali saw b'nei melachim him. Rabbi Shimon says, everyone's allowed to use shemen, every Jew is allowed to use shemen verid, because every Jew has a status of a ben melech. So first says the Gemara, Rami le ravacha aricha duhu, ravacha bar papa le Rabbi Yavo. Ravacha aricha, he must have been a tall person, so he had a nickname, Ravacha Aricha, but he was also Ravacha Bar Papa, so that's a question in general. Are you allowed to give nicknames based on physical descriptions of people? Is that insulting to a person to give a person a nickname? So someone who's tall probably doesn't mind to be called Ravacha Aricha, so he's called Ravacha Aricha. That's one of the achronim I've mentioned in the past. One of the achronim has a shaila that there were two guys named Chaim in the shul, so they wanted to distinguish between one Chaim and the other, so the tall one they used to call Chaim Aruchim. So is that a violation of calling someone by a nickname? The Gemara Baba Metzia says it's a very terrible thing to call someone by a nickname. But here you have Ravacha Aricha. So Ravacha Aricha, who was Ravacha Bar Papa, said to Rabbi Yavo, Tanan, Shteitin, Mishnah Choshish, Pishin of Loi Gamei Ben Esa Chometz, person has a toothache, he should not gargle Chometz, Lamemer, the Chometz Malo Shinaim. Does that mean that vinegar is good for the teeth? Vaksiv, Chometz Lashinaim, Ka'ashale Enayim. So the puzzle continues, Keina Otzel Lasholchav, that just like Chometz is mazik your teeth, so too a lazy person is mazik those who send him to do anything, because he's always going to delay and he's not going to do anything. Lo kasha habikiyah depri habachala. Now there's a difference between different types of vinegar, that the chometz in the pasuk that's bad for you is from wine vinegar that's made from grapes that are not fully ripened, whereas the vinegar that's good for the teeth is made from good wine that is fully that has been hichmitz and is good for the teeth. Or it could be that it's both talking about wine vinegar that's made from wine that from good wine, and the difference is hadika maka hadaleka maka. Difference is whether you have a wound or not. Ika maka masi, if you have a wound, then it's good for you. Leka makam rapi, but if you don't have a wound, then it's going to be mazik the teeth. So in general, a lot of medications are like that. That if you need the medication, it's very good for you. And if you don't need the medication and you take it, then it's very, very bad for a person to take a medication. Lo yigamea ben es achometz. Person cannot be megamea chometz in his teeth. So va'atanya lo yigamea upolet av megamea ubalea. But the Brisa says, you're just not allowed to take it and spit it out. But if you take it and swallow it, you're allowed to do that. That's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, lo yigamea. Sounds like regardless, even if you swallow it. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about dafka in a case where you spit it out, but swallowing it in a chinami would be mutter. That's Abaye's answer. Rava Amar Afilute Megameo Baleya. No, our Mishnah might even be saying that if you swallow it, it's a problem. Kan lefnei tibul, kan liachar tibul. But the brisa that is talking about before you dip your bread in the chometz, and therefore it's mutter to be baleya the chometz, because it's not muchach that you're doing it for refuah, because that was normal to be tovel b'chometz during the su'uda. And someone who sees that is gonna say that that's his tibul and he wants to eat chometz. But our mishnah is about la'achar tibul. You already finished your meal and you already dipped your bread in the chometz as much as it needed, and now you're just stam downing chometz. So that's different. That's obvious that you're doing it for refuah, and that's going to be asur even if you swallow it. V'neima midilufnei tibul shari. lachar tibul na mishor. But wait a second, shouldn't we say that if it's mutter to do it to do it lefnei tibul, it should be mutter to do it even after you finished eating your meal? Because after all, the shamin le the rava the islay hoil. Rava holds that once you hold something's mutter in one context, it becomes mutter in every context. Where does Rava say that? That once something is mutter in one context, it's mutter everywhere. There's nothing that's mutter on Shabbos and asr on Yom Kippurim. Rava is discussing about going to the mikveh on Yom Kippurim, and therefore he says since it's mutter to go to the mikveh on Shabbos because it's not near a kemesakein, it doesn't look like you're fixing yourself. It's just near a kemekarer. It looks like you're just going to cool yourself off. So to on Yom Kippurim, even though it can't look like you're just going to cool yourself off in Yom Kippur, because you're not allowed to bathe at all on Yom Kippur. So the only reason you'd ever be going into the mikveh on Yom Kippur is to be misakin oneself. But hold, the b'shabbos shari, b'yom kippurim nami shari, since it's mutar on Shabbos, mutar on Yantif as well. So by tibul as well, we should say that Rava holds that in the chadavar that's usher for part of Shabbos and is going to be mutar for another part of Shabbos. So if it's mutar before the meal, it's got to be mutar after the meal as well. So hadbe Rava mehach. You're right, Rava changed his mind from his distinction between before the meal and after the meal, because einach nami, if it's mutar in one case, it's mutar in the other case, and Rava therefore must side with Abaye's answer to the stira that our Mishnah is limited to a case of megamea upolate, and that's the difference. If you swallow it, it's always going to be mutter to swallow the vinegar, even if your intention is to heal your teeth. If you spit it out, it's going to be aser. Says Gemara, okay, you had a problem with Rava, because Rava said in one context that if something's mutter, it's always mutter, and then in another context, Rava says that you're not allowed to be megamea after the meal, but you can before the meal. But how do you know which one he changed his mind from? How do you know that he changed his mind from his teretz over here? Maybe he changed his mind about the Yom Kippur business, about going to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, and really he holds that it's also to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur because it's near Kimisakein. So lo sakadaitech, it can't be. Titania, because the Brisa tells us, kol chayavi tevilah tovlin kadakam bein betishva bein Yom Kippurim. Because there's a beferish of Brisa that tells us that you're allowed to do a tevilah on Yom Kippurim. So that's why Rava must continue to hold that you're allowed to do a tevilah on Yom Kippurim, because Rava holds hawil that if it's mutter in one context, it's mutter in every context. Then the Mishnah said a choshesh b'masnaf, that if a person is choshesh b'masnaf, his loins are hurting, he shouldn't be sach with yayin l'chomet, but he could use shemen, just not shemen vered, unless he's a ben melech. And Rabbi Shimon said everyone's a ben melech, so everyone's allowed to use shemen vered. So says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yab Bar Zavda, Amr Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. We pass on like Rabbi Shimon that every Jew is allowed to use shemen vered. L'meimra derav k'Rabbi Shimon svirulei. Wait, do you mean to tell me that you hold like Rabbi Shimon? V'Amr Rabbi Simon Bar Chiya Mishmei derav, hay musuch raya diniz yasa. Didn't he paskin that when you have a piece of cloth that you wrap around a beer keg in order to close off the opening of the keg, so asala duka b'yamatova, you're not allowed to attach it on yantif, because it's going to be a violation of sochet, it's going to be a violation of schita, the cloth is going to get moist and you're going to squeeze out some of the beer from that cloth, and even though you're not having kavana to do the schita, you're just trying to close the opening of the keg, Rav holds the davar shein miskavin is aser. Who says davar shein miskavin is aser? That's shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon is matir davar shein miskavin. So how can you tell me that Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda about a davar shein miskavin? So Rav can't be saying that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to using shemen vered, because we see that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda about davar shein miskavin. Tosfos raises the obvious question. All the Rishonim raise the obvious question. What has one got to do with the other? Meaning there is no, there's a big misconception out there that people think that you always have to pass on like the same shita for everything. That if you pass on like one thing Rav Moshe Feinstein says, then it means you have to pass on like every tshuva in Igros Moshe, and you can never hold like with something Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees with him better, the Chazanish disagrees with that. No, there's no such rule that you have to pass on. What you're not allowed to do is, that one has a reputation of being a big mekel in Hilchos Nida, so that's going to be my Nida rabbi. And that one is a big mekel in Hilchos Kashrus. That's my Kashrus rabbi. Now that you're not allowed to do when you're doing it for ulterior motives like that, but there's no rule that you always have to pass on like the same Tana. So just because he passes like Rabbi Shimon in one context, it means he's not allowed to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda in another context. So that's the kasha that Tosos, that all the Rishonim raise, including Tosos. So Tosos has a different understanding of the Gemara. Tosos understands that the case of Shemen Verit is about Davar Shein Miskavein, meaning it's not, these aren't two separate machlokas. Tosos understands understands that Rabbi Shimon is the reason Rabbi Shimon says that you're allowed to be sach b'shemen vered is because he holds that a davar shein miskaven is mutter, and you're sach for ta'anuk. Your intention is not for refuah, and the Tanakama asers even when your intention is for ta'anuk and not for refuah, because davar shein miskaven is aser. So the Gemara says, what? Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon that a davar shein miskaven is mutter. I thought he holds that you're not that a davar shein miskaven is aser. So that's the Gemara's real kasha over here, according to Tosos. Anyway, so says the Gemara, by he, afilu Rabbi Shimon mode. No, in the case of closing the beer keg, even Rabbi Shimon is mode. Rabbi Shimon is mode that if something's going to be psik reshe, then it's for sure going to be aser. There is a major discussion what exactly the issue of schita on Shabbos is, meaning there's no malacha d'oraisa called schita. So you go through lamitas malachos, which one is it? So the issue of schita on Shabbos is either mishum malabim, because it's cleaning out the baguette, or mishum mefarik, which is a toldah of dash, that when you squeeze the liquid out of the baguette and you want that liquid is useful to you, so that's a toldah of dash. So anytime you have schita, you have to run it through both possibilities. See, is it melabein? Is it dash? There's a fascinating correspondence between the Sri De'esh and Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach about a toothbrush, about schita on a toothbrush on Shabbos. Is it a violation of schita? Rav Moshe thinks dover pashut, that it's a violation of schita. Both the Sri De'esh and Rosh Shlomo Zalman thought not that way. They thought it's not a violation of schita. And the way they go through it is it melabein? Is it a violation of cleaning the toothbrush? It's probably not melabein on something that's not even absorbent at all. Is it dush? Is the water useful after it comes out of the toothbrush? Probably not. The water is holich li'ibud, and anytime it's holich li'ibud, it's not going to be a violation of dush. So that's a discussion whether you apply such a din of schita. Anyway, so says the Gemara that when it comes to psik reshe, even Rabbi Shimon is modus. Ask the Gemara, Rav Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amarav, Halach Rabbi Yudov, Rav Chan Barami, Amar Shmuel, Halach Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chiya Barav, Masin El Blo Gavri, and some have it without an intermediary, that's straight, Rav Omar, Halach Rabbi Yudah, Ushmuel Amar Halach Rabbi Shimon. So you see, Rav Paskins like Rabbi Yudah. Don't tell me that Rav really Paskins like Rabbi Shimon, and it's just by the beer keg, Rabbi Shimon is moda. No, Rav says, Beferish Halach like Rabbi Yudah. So how come by the Shemin Vered he's paskining like Rabbi Shimon? We're back to our question. Elama Rava Aniva Arisha Bechabura Targirmna. I, together with the Arisha Bechabura, explain, don't ask this Kasha, Umani, who is the Arisha Bechura, Rabbi Chia Baravin, that Allah like Rabbi Shimon Vlav Mitameh, that Rav says that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon about using Shemin Vered, but not for the same reason that Rabbi Shimon is Matir. Rav does not hold by Shemin Vered like Rabbi Shimon. He holds that you're allowed to be Sach B'Shemin Vered for a totally different reason, and therefore, throughout Hilchas Shabbos, he could pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Maya Alach Rabbi Shimon v'lav mitamei. What does he mean that Alach is like Rabbi Shimon v'lav mitamei? Ile Melach Rabbi Shimon d'shar v'lav mitamei. Dil Rabbi Shimon savar masi v'rav savar lo masi. That Rabbi Shimon holds it actually has therapeutic value, and Rav just holds it doesn't have therapeutic value at all, and that's why it's mutter because it's not a refuah bechlal. The savar Rav lo masi. But is that true? Rav holds there's no therapeutic value to Shemin Vered. V'mi d'ktani b'nei Melachim sachan agav b'maksein Shemin Vered mechal demasi. From the fact that the b'nei Melachim would use it on their wounds, apparently, it is something that has therapeutic value. So what does it mean that Rav Pasnik Sark Rabbi Shimon but Vlav Mitameh? Ella Alach Rabbi Shimon Deshar Vlav Mitameh Dilu Rabbi Shimon Savar Afal Gav Delo Shchiach Shari. Even though it's not easy to come across and find Shemin Vered because it's very expensive, and everyone knows that you would only use it for refuah, it's still going to be Mutav. Rav Savar Ishchiach In. Rav says, no, it depends where you live. If you can go into any corner store and they have Shemin Vered for sale, so then it's going to be mutter to do on Shabbos, because then it's not so obvious that you're using it for refuah, because it's pretty cheap in your location. V'lo shchiach, but if it's so rare, then lo. Uba asad Rav shchiach, mashka devarda, but where Rav lived, it happened to be easy to come across Shemin Vered, and that's why he paskened that it was mutter. Nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was, even if it was very expensive. Okay, so hadron alach, shmona shratzim. So now we begin the new parak relating to kosher and matir. V'eluk sharm shechayav nalein. The following knots you're chayav for making on Shabbos. Kesher ha-gamalin v'kesher ha-saponim. The knot that you use to tie the camel and the knot that you use to tie the boat down. Ukshem shu chayav al kishur nekach hu chayav al hateron. If you're chayav for tying them, you're chayav for untying them as well. Rameir amul kol kesher shu yachal atiru ba'achas miyad ovein chayav nalav. Any knot you can undo with one hand, you're not going to be chayav for. So my kesher ha-gamalin v'kesher ha-saponim, what do we mean by the knot for the camels and for the boats? Ile mekitra dekatri bizmama, mekitra dekatri bizstrida, Hakashena shel kayamahu. If we're talking about the knot that you tie into the ring that's already tied to the animal's nose, or that you tie into the ring that's already on the boat, so that's not really kasha shel kayama. So you shouldn't be chayav for that. Elikitu dezmama gufei udistri de gufa. No, we're talking about tying the knot that is in the animal's nose already. That is in the animal's nose. The original knot that stays in the animal's nose, so that you could then tie the animal to things later on. That's a kesher kayama. Or tying like the hook on the boat, making that hook with a knot on the boat that you then tie the boat to wherever it ports to the dock. That's a kesher shel kayama. Rameir Amal Kol Kesher. Rameir said anytime you could untie it with one of your hands, you're going to be chayiv. You're not going to be chayiv on it. Rabbi Rav Octavia Achoy Demar Acha Aniva Rameir Mahu. What Rameir say about an aniva where it's made like a bow, so you can untie it with one hand, but it's very very tight. So time it Rameir Mishum Diachal Atir Bachs Miadavu is the real geder, that which you could untie with one hand. Vahanami yachalatiro, and if you have like a bow or a loop, you could untie it with one hand, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv. Odilma tamid Rameir mishum lo mehandek, or maybe Rameir meant a knot that's so loose and it's not really tight, so you could just quickly untie it with one hand. That's where you're not going to be chayiv. But vaham mehandek, but if it has a loop or it has a bow that is tied very very tightly, and therefore maybe you should be chayiv even though you could undo it with one hand. Take who the Gemara is not poshet this shayla. Later on in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, we're going to see that it's a machlokas Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda, that the Rabbanan allow kesher aniva and Rabbi Yehuda asers it. We'll see that Be'ez Hashem when we get there. So Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with the second mission of the parak over here on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day.